From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The federal class action trial of the New York City Police Department's stop and frisk policy wound down today. After nearly 10 weeks of testimony, both sides presented closing arguments. NPR's Margot Adler was in the courtroom today and joins us now. And Margot, tell us how each side presented its case.
Well, each side had about 3 hours to sum up weeks of testimony. The question in the trial is really this. Do the almost 4.3 million stops over about 8 years, 5 million over about a decade of mostly Black and Latino men constitute a violation of the Fourth Amendment, unreasonable search and seizure, the 14th Amendment, equal protection? In other words, is this a form of racial profiling, or are they an important and reasonable part of police practice, ensuring New York City is the safest big city in America? So, Heidi Grossman, the lawyer for the city, the defendant in this case, said there was no indication of racial motivation in the stops. She argued the plaintiffs only had 12 witnesses, that were involved in 19 stops, and that most were based on reasonable suspicion. So a bulge in their pants, indicating perhaps a weapon, furtive movements, a description of clothing that matched a suspect the police were looking for, being in a high crime area. And she argued that in most cases they consented to the search, which the plaintiff's lawyers completely had a completely different position, and that race was mentioned only one or two times, that they were mostly patted down, they were not really searched. She argued you had to find race-based discrimination and intent to do that in at least one plaintiff, and that that had not been achieved by the plaintiffs. The city argued also that the claim that the police were pushed to achieve quotas, that in fact they were simply performance goals that were necessary to counteract the police disincentives to danger that was being risk-averse, and that most officers only stopped a few people a month. Plaintiffs' lawyers argued that the notion of furtive movements, a bulge in a pocket, was used as a proxy for reasonable suspicion, that less than 2% of the stops uncovered any weapons or contraband, and only, get this, 0.14% found guns, almost random. They argued that the stops laid waste to Black communities, instilled fear, that pressure to increase numbers constituted quotas, and that combined with bad training and monitoring, this was all a disaster. And they argued that race was a factor in many of the 19 incidents, maybe all.
So that's what the lawyers had to say. I gather the judge had questions for both sides. What did she ask him about?
Well, she had very pointed questions. She noted not only the lack of guns and weapons, but she asked if 90% of those questioned were neither given summons or arrested, wasn't that a high error rate? You know, and whether you called it performance goals or quotas, weren't supervisors often pushing up the numbers, as some of these tapes provided by whistleblowing police officers certainly seem to indicate? And hadn't the stops increased yearly? And she asked whether many of the stops took place in high-crime areas, if that was enough to constitute suspicion. The plaintiffs want federal monitoring, better supervision. They want more information, more narrative on the forms. The city argues there are enough checks and balances and that additional monitoring would impede the police in its main goal, stopping crime.
Margot, tell us a bit how this case has played out in the politics of New York City.
Well, you know, Bloomberg is winding down his third term.
This is Michael Bloomberg, the mayor.
Yes, the mayor. Mayor Michael Bloomberg. There's already a hot mayoral race. There have already been debates involving six candidates, and stop and frisk is a hot, hot topic. Mayor Bloomberg and Ray Kelly have defended the policy, saying it's made the city safe, and many of the mayoral candidates are calling for changes.
And when can we expect a ruling in this case?
Probably not for about 60 days. The transcript is long. The judge could ask for changes. Whatever happens, there will definitely be an appeal. And this trial has opened up a lot of interesting ideas and knowledge about the police department.
Okay. Thank you, Margot.
You're welcome.
That's NPR's Margot Adler in New York.